Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a tough-lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Good morning. Welcome to Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Tony Cincotta, and alongside me, George Kurtz, as we get you ready for Fantasy Baseball 2018. Just days away. Drafts are happening. People are trying to get their last few drafts in, but some people have already drafted. Some people have drafted numerous times. And some people have some problems already, and they'll be hitting the waiver wire tonight. So we got you covered no matter what the heck is going on, George.
We do, Tony. And I guess that begs the question, how many yearly leagues are you in this season?
I'm in five right now, and I think I have two more drafts, which is way more than I've played in a long time.
Yeah, exactly. You and I have had this discussion before. Usually we try and calm down. I'm actually only in four. I have one draft, my home league, on Wednesday, but I've got it down to four. I'm very proud of myself. I think I've cut the addiction.
Yeah, I think I was down like two or three last year, and I don't know. It's just like everybody else. You just like drafting, right? And then you end up drafting in this league, and I don't know. All of a sudden you look up and there's five gone.
The draft is like Christmas morning for adults, right? It's where we get to see our Christmas presents on that more after the draft, what we have, what our teams are. I'm just a big believer that if you play in 7, 8, 9 teams, you can't possibly pay attention to them all. Trying to figure out when the waiver wire is going here, and I think it hurts my overall play. So that's why I'm trying to cut it down to only the leagues I really want to play in.
You know, it's interesting. That's one of the problems is when you play on multiple sites, and you have that one league that's on, you know, like say you play in, let's say you play in five leagues, and you play in four on ESPN and one on Yahoo, just for the sake of argument here. Seems like that Yahoo league is the one that gets neglected. And to be honest, this year, I have two NFBC leagues, and I have three that are all on Fantrax. So that ends up being good that I don't have any of those leagues that are, one by itself.
Yeah, I guess I know what confuses me is that when you get that one league that's a little strange rules, the waiver wire is not quite on a Sunday night. I got one league where it's on a Thursday night. That's it. There's no Sunday. It's not Thursday and Sunday, just Thursday. Why? Because the commissioner wants to be different. He said, I'm tired of everybody doing it on the same night. Well, I kind of like the same night. Did I know when to go check my waiver wire?
He wants to be different.
They always screw it up.
I hate people that want to be different, and that's one of the things I was just going to talk about, is that, George, I'm noticing a trend, a disturbing trend in fantasy baseball. And when I say a disturbing trend, the trend is that I am playing in more one-catcher leagues than I'm accustomed to, because we play in the Greater Fantasy Baseball Invitational, which is a industry. I don't know if there's some fans in it or what in there, but mostly industry. And secondly, is that Fantrax, they went one catcher leagues too. And I am not a fan, and I think it dumbs down fantasy baseball. It takes out a strategy element of the draft.
I can see your point. I hate the catching position. I think most people know that by now. There's too many injuries there. They get hit with foul balls. They got to crouch a million times during the summer. What's the stat that Joe Pisapia liked to throw out there? Only 9 catchers had more than 400 at-bats last year. You're playing in a two-catcher league. Even just a 12-team league, that's 24 catches, man. That second spot becomes a big weight. You know, just a dead weight on your roster.
But that,
you
know, that proves my – that's why I'm in favor of it. Joe is against it, and Joe's reasoning is, I don't know, leaves me skeptical. The nine catches, you have to decide, right? Do I get two of those catches? Do I get one of those catches? Do I have to pick? Do I just say, F it? You know what? They get hurt. I'll make them my last two picks. There's strategy involved in that.
Oh, yeah. I can't argue that point. I prefer the one catcher. I hate catchers. I purely hate that. There's like four or five good ones. After that, they all are all in the same bag here. But there's certainly strategy to it. You're right. And I am one of those people who, when playing in two catcher leagues, I wait forever.
Yeah, you must be one of those guys that like bigger government and everyone's college to be paid for and all that stuff.
Be nice, your college was paid for. I'm sure they wouldn't bank on that anytime soon.
No. But, you know, there's always a chance, right?
We'll see. My oldest daughter will be in college in 7 years, so can we get this fixed in 7 years, please?
I don't have that long. I wish I did. It's George Kurtz, Tony Sagata. We'll be here till noon Eastern today. And like I said, we're going to spend all 3 hours on baseball and get you guys ready and get you guys prepared for what's going on in the world. George, are you excited? This is the week that opening day is happening?
It's strange, isn't it? I mean, you know me, Tony. I'm a football guy. I'm a hockey guy, baseball guy. But there is something special about baseball opening day. I don't know what it is. You know, maybe it's the only thing my father and I agreed on was baseball. So maybe that's part of it. But I love opening day. But, you know, it doesn't hold the same to me this year. Not because it's on a Thursday or because it's still snow on the ground here. But because the Yankees are in Toronto. And it's not Canada either. It's that they're going to be in a dome, on artificial turf. I love watching games in real ballparks, and watching a game in a dome on turf, that sort of takes away some of the magic for me. But at the very least, I won't have to worry about the games being snowed out, rained out, colded out, whatever it might be.
I was going to say, and you actually, that's going to be the interesting part for the first week. And we're going to go through a lot of injuries already that are occurring that are going to lead to some decision making. And you know what Tony Sinkata has on his agenda today? To find out in his leagues what the first week consists of. Does it go Thursday to Sunday?
Exactly, yes.
Or does it go Thursday and then the following week? Because the reason I say that, and you guys need to check your leagues, is during the All-Star breaks through a lot of these leagues, I know on ESPN this is the way it was, is that 3 days would be put onto a week after, and you wouldn't get that 3 day standalone. So check your software and make sure you know what the week consists of.
Agreed. Yeah, you have no choice but to do that, and it's a mixed bag because commissioners can set it up either way, especially on CBS. I know it's easy to do if you want to make that 1 week, 2 weeks. I guess you could combine week one and the All-Star week and make 1 week, but I guess no one wants to wait to find out what happens there.
No, that would be crazy, George. Imagine that you'd have players out by then or injured, and we'll go there. The biggest injury we've got to talk about, people are drafting today. People are drafting the next couple of days. What do you do with Madison Bumgarner in a one-year league? Story's out. He's going to be back in June. He missed time last year. And I have some definite feelings on this. Madison Bumgarner, of course, underwent successful surgery to repair a left fractured pinky finger. What's your thoughts?
I mean, I wasn't drafting him anyway. I think the team's a dumpster fire. I think there's a lot of issues in San Fran there. But I kind of find it funny. Almost everybody I'm reading, well, he was top 25 player overall coming into it. Now he's top 50. Really? Guy Tim is a third of the season? That's all he drops? I mean, I'm not taking him anywhere near a top 150. It's his throwing hand. I know it'll probably heal normal, but I'm going to chance that. He's going to come back in 2 months. Be fine. Not to go through spring training again to build up that arm strength. Remember, he can't throw. So aren't we looking at mid-June here? Maybe even the All-Star right before we see him? And now he's still that good? Tony, like I said, yeah, I took a round 13, 14. He's there for me. It's a gift. Fine, I'll take a shot on him, especially if my league has a DL slot. That's another consideration there. If I'm just going to eat up a spot for half a season. But in most leagues, I am not touching him. Let someone else take the chance.
I go a little different than George here. A top 50 is insane to me. But there is a time where the seventh or eighth round, I would start putting him in my queue and start looking for a place here. And my thinking is, I don't think he's going to be out 6 weeks. It's his pinky. He had surgery, but I've been thinking about this for a while. I don't know any pitch you throw that your pinky is involved. I think somebody figures this out, and this guy goes out there and toughs it out. Now, you could say he ain't going to be the same pitch you're playing with a broken finger, and that would probably make some sense. And you might even see him pitch out of the bullpen when he comes back to try to, you know, the wear and tear on the throwing. But I think there's a chance that he gets back earlier. So about the seventh or eighth round, if I don't like the guy on the board when I come to pick, I will pick him. If there's somebody there that I like, I'll pick the other guy. I'll look at the next round. If there's still another guy that I like, I'll pick the other guy. And I'm not going in with the mindset I'm going to pick Bumgarner here or there. I'm just open to it in the seventh or eighth round. And I wouldn't be shocked if he's back earlier than June.
I mean, they're calling it 8 weeks. He's not going to pitch the broken pinky. That's nuts. There's no way he's going to pitch out of the bullpen. Come on. That's not going to happen either. There's no
way
that's
happening.
Why would
he pitch with a broken finger?
I mean, you're
going to hurt all the time.
Yeah, but it's still in your throwing hand. The finger would make contact.
That's a good thing, though, to me, right? Because if it was on his other hand, that'd be a pain in the ass because he'd have to catch the ball 100 times.
That you could tough that out. You can't. There's no way, Tony. He's not coming back to that finger sealed. And he's not doing it. All right. The team's a dumpster fire. He's a mess now. I have no problem someone looking for him. You said you start looking for him seventh and eighth round. I don't have an issue with that. You know, I'm probably not taking those double-digit rounds. That's about 12th team. We're talking pick 120. I have him in the 120, 140 range, somewhere around there. There will come a time where he is a value pick. But I don't like the idea of taking somebody. Once again, seventh, eighth round, to me, that's too valuable a pick. Once we get the double digits, I'm okay with doing it because I think he should take some dartboard throws or some chance. I shouldn't say dartboard, some chances. And I think he is a chance here, and he's someone who could pay off handsomely. My guess is, though, in a lot of leagues, someone will take it where you originally said, seventh and eighth. They won't be looking for it in seventh and eighth. They'll be taking him at seventh and eighth because they'll be saying, Bumgarner, you know, all-star, Cy Young guy. I can get here as my SP3, and maybe he only misses 5, 6, 7 starts. You know, and they'll be thinking all the optimism here. I'm the exact opposite. I assume the worst, and that's why I'm not doing it.
This is a tough guy, George. He goes motorcycle riding. He's a hunter. He's gonna be back. You can't let a pinky.
How are you a tough guy if you're a hunter? Do the deer have guns? Are they shooting back?
I don't know. He's from Hickory, North Carolina. That's where they grow them tough out there.
He is a tough guy, and I enjoy watching him pitch. I enjoy watching him hit. But that being said, I think part of my problem, I was against, not in Bumgarner, but San Fran anyway, coming into draft season. Now this just makes it all the more.
Why are you so hostile with the San Francisco Giants?
I just think they're sort of put together. The way they're put together, the team is strange. You know, let's trade for McCutcheon, who looks like he's on the downside. Longoria, same thing. They're getting named players who don't have that much left. Sounds good. Looks good in the lineup. But overall, I just don't like the direction of this team. Zamarja's out, too. This team is just going, like I said, to me, they're an anvil. They're an anvil falling quickly.
So, you know, we did the show yesterday, and I did it with Chuck Galina. And we were talking about Evan Longoria. And Evan Longoria is 32 years of age. But he's not really on the downside. I think what happens is that people look at that ballpark, and we just throw up in our mouths out of any pitter going over to that ballpark in San Francisco. And from a fantasy perspective, it's horrible. But if you look at what Longoria has done lately, right? He only hit 20 home runs last year, but just a year ago, 36 home runs in a good pitcher's ballpark in Tampa. Now, San Francisco might be the best pitcher's ballpark. So, I mean, he's put up numbers recently.
He has. I don't think 36 home runs is coming again. That's by far the most in his career. It seems to be that. That's an outlier season.
Well, he had 32.
In 13. Yeah. Other than that, generally he's in the 20s.
He had 31 in 2011. He does it every other year.
Oh, is that what we're going by? Every other year is the category. Okay. All right. That's good. It's funny. I think he has done it every other year. Now that I look at 33, 31, 32. Oh, fine. He's going to be magic this year.
I think what happens, though, is we look at this ballpark in San Francisco, and I think this is the same with McCutchen, Longoria, and anyone that goes over there, is that we automatically just discount people that play in that ballpark. And I'm not saying it's the wrong move either. It's that ballpark just kills a lot of fly balls, unless you're Barry Bonds.
Well, for left, I mean, for right-handers, it's actually, it's okay. It's no worse than Tampa Bay, except for the air. The heavy air will knock the ball down there. But as far as distance, it's the same as, or pretty much the same as Tampa. But if you're an opposite field hitter, or you're a left-hander, you're going to try to hit the ball to the right center. Good luck to you. That ball's not going anywhere.
That's very sad, George, because people love offense. Last year in Major League Baseball, San Francisco was the worst park in Major League Baseball for home runs, and Tropicana Field was number 22 there. So it's a downgrade, but he was not in a hitter's paradise to begin with.
No. Tropicana, was that the worst park outside maybe Oakland? Worst stadium in baseball? Anyone?
Well, it's very beautiful, it's
Tropicana?
Not for home runs. It's not.
Anyway.
No, San Francisco is beautiful.
Oh, San Francisco is beautiful. It's a great stadium. Why they made it? And I guess I wish people would think a little bit. You know, when they make the ballpark, because they made it for Barry Bonds. I understand that, but did you think he was going to play forever? And now you got to live with this Grand Canyon. Same thing with Miami. They really built that for Giancarlo Stanton. He's gone for 2 years.
Maybe they can go get some pitchers now.
Maybe they get rid of that thing in left center field. I really want that thing gone.
Oh, I think
Gita said he's going to get rid of it. Is it? Oh, that's the
I don't know if it's really
you're
gone.
Disappointing me now.
Because there was a government. The government got involved, and they wanted to keep it. And they paid for it. I have no idea, George. I just report the facts.
Why would the government want to keep this thing? I mean, think about it. Revenue-wise, aren't you taking away a gazillion seats?
No. Well, George, are you kidding me? I think they have like 48,000 empty seats there.
I'm not saying people would come. I'm saying you're taking away seats.
They want to clean it. They wanted it to be an art and deco community, and they like the ballpark to represent the art and deco community.
That thing is going to be the worst, literally the worst, as far as stadiums go. They got rid of Howes Hill, whatever they called that thing in Houston, thank God. So now this thing's going to be the worst thing in a stadium in baseball by far.
You're listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning. We're getting you ready. Fantasy Baseball 2018. We're coming back. We're talking about a bird, not Mark Fidrich, because that show would be 20 years old. Stay tuned.
And fly.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Welcome back, Roto Experts in the Morning. I'm George Kurtz, joined by Tony Sincotta. I believe next week Scott Engel will be taking over the show along with myself as Tony's covering for Scott. How nice of Tony to do that for us, as Scott is getting a one-week bye, Mr. Engel, before the King takes over next week, Tony.
The King and I. You know what's crazy is Pete Considori.
Yeah,
it's Pete Considori. He's the man in charge here, getting it done. Pete, you know what's great about life?
Yeah.
When it doesn't snow. Can you promise the people that it won't be no snow on Thursday?
I can't promise that, but I'm hoping. I'm really hoping. I'm so done with the snow. Opening day's Thursday. We don't need it. It's spring. Enough's enough.
All right. Pete Considori, guy here, getting it done every Saturday and Sunday for the people. He's a man of the people. Now, Greg Bird, of course, the Yankees' first baseman. He has results from an MRI and a CT scan that says his right foot, it's just inflamed, George. It's not an issue. I don't think Greg Bird is a great player by any stretch of the imagination. I think a lot of people overdrafted him this year. Now he's got injuries. How do you see this playing out with Bird?
Well, he's flipping everybody the Bird right now if you drafted him early. That's a problem. I mean, they could say all they want. Listen, you're going to get nothing but optimism right now. This is I mean, it's almost the exact same scenario as last year, isn't it? All right, once again, no big deal. Foot injury, he'll be okay day to day. You know, then all of a sudden, day to day, turn the week to week, and then it's month to month, and then they don't really know. Now, he's going to go see the same specialist who did the surgery, so we really need to take a wait-and-see approach here. If I'm drafting tonight, I know first base gets really thin really quickly, but he's becoming more of a hope and prayer now for me that maybe he plays 140 games, maybe. You know, I don't think this is going to be one DL stint or a short DL stint if the injury is more serious. You know, maybe they got to go back in there and take a look. It took a long time. Like, I mean, talking months before that anyone figured out what exactly was wrong with his foot last year. I don't think I can draft Greg Bird tonight unless his price comes to me.
Now, say Bird starts the year on the disabled list for the Yankees. How do you see them setting up their lineup? There's a lot of movable pieces here. Do you see them going to a Tyler Austin? Do you see them going and putting one of their outfielders at first base? How do you see this playing out?
It won't be an outfielder at first base. I mean, they don't have anyone there who's played first. Hicks, Judge, Stanton, Gardner's certainly not playing first base. Ellsbury, here's your first baseman. Now, it'll be a platoon, I would imagine, between Tyler Austin and Neil Walker. Walker has played first base. I think he'd play versus righties. And Tyler Austin would play versus lefties. Tyler Wade would become more of the full-time second baseman there, maybe not splitting time with Neil Walker. I wonder if Brandon Drury could also be in play here, and then them bringing up Miguel Andujar earlier than they expected. You know, or even Gleyber Torres, I think he could play third base. That would be something you might look at in mid-April once Torres passes that that extra year of control there. That's when he becomes in play for the Yankees there. But my initial reaction would be, assuming Bird starts the season at least on the DL, Tyler Austin and Neil Walker in a platoon is what the Yankees would see.
And, of course, the Yankees outfield has been much speculation. It was reported Jacoby Ellsbury won't be ready for opening day, will be ready. He'll be all over the place. I look at this outfield, and I think that what we're going to see is that I don't think Judge and Stanton will be in the outfield too many times at the same. One of them will end up being a DH, I would think. And Hicks is a guy that I think will bat leadoff against left-handed pitchers, and I believe Gardner will bat leadoff against right-handed pitchers. How do you see this playing out?
Ellsbury's really not in the mix here, even when healthy. He will start the season on with DL. The Yankees said that yesterday. I think this will be the Yankees Ellsbury, just, you know, go with DL. Get healthy. We'll see in June. You know, they'd like him to be out as long as possible. He really can't help this team. If Clint Frazier was around, he might have gotten a platoon situation there, some with Hicks. That could have happened there. I think what you said is correct, with the exception of when the Yankees play in small left fields. Think Fenway Park, Camden Yards, ballparks like that. Then you will see Stanton play a little bit out there in left field, especially versus left-handed pitchers. I think they'd like to get Gardner maybe out of the lineup completely against some left-handers there and put in, like I said, that Frazier would have been perfect there. So I think that's the situation you could see. It could also be a situation where maybe Gary Sanchez takes a break. If Stanton can play left, Stanton and Sanchez can DH, and you don't lose Stanton. And Gardner's the one who leaves there. I don't think Hicks is going to lead off all that much. I think it will be Gardner versus right-handers. They did try Aaron Judge versus a leading off versus a left-hander. That does make some sense with his over 400 OBP. I think they'll try that, whether it'll work or not. I think who's batting first against left-handers is still a work in progress here.
So you don't think it'll be Hicks?
I think he'll get a shot, but I don't think he's the kind of guy you want up there, and he has not had a good spring. So I don't think he's the kind. I don't know if the Yankees have a perfect guy, that perfect leadoff guy. I expect them all to get a shot. I'll be surprised if Drury gets a shot, if Walker gets a shot, Hicks, Judge. In the end, it just might be Gardner. If he's playing, he might be the guy. But I don't think he's the perfect solution either here. I don't know if the Yankees have one.
What do you think of Aaron Judge? What do you think his batting average is this year?
I think it's going to go down a little bit from last year. That'd be a feeling that he's going to go down a little bit. I think he's going to hit 40-plus home runs. I don't think to say 50 home runs is a little ridiculous, but I think he'll hit 40. He hits home runs by accident. I mean, same thing with Stanton. They're so strong. They don't even have, they don't have to square it up, especially now if he's behind the ball. He hit the Yankee Stadium. Ball's going to fly. But I do think his average comes down to where, for fantasy purposes, doesn't hurt you, doesn't help you. That sort of thing. And OBP, he's a monster because he's going to walk a ton, especially if the umpires adjust how tall he is and they don't call that low strike on him. So I think his average comes down. I think he's going to hit 40-plus home runs. He'll drive in more than his share of runs. He stole some bases last year, too. So even that, he's can help out a little bit. Aaron Judge will be fine.
He stole 9 bases. But he strikes out 30% of the time, and he has a batted balls in play that's inflated. I would think he's a 230, 240 hitter.
See, I don't, because watching Judge, I'm the Yankee fan, watching him game in, game out, some of those strikeouts are in balls that they're not strikes. They're just not, but umpires are calling the strike on what it would be on a 6-foot person, not a guy who's 6'7". You know, I think the umpires will adjust to that, and they won't call as many. I think Judge will get better, too. Remember, last year he was a rookie. He'll get better as well. By better, I mean he'll put more balls in play. He's not going to hit 60 home runs or bat 310. That's not going to happen. I don't think he falls to the 230, 240 range, not at this point in his career. When he gets older, I think he will.
Don't you think that he hits the perfect storm? Everything went perfect for him. We see a lot of guys in their second year regress.
Did he go perfect? He was hurt the second half of last year.
When he played, everything was perfect. The guy struck out 31% of the time and hit 284.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right. That's a lot. That's an inflated bit. I mean, when that ball's in play, he's getting hit. But that's also when he puts the ball in play, he hits the ball hard. And long and far.
There's so many other guys that do the same thing that don't have that batting average.
I said, I don't think he'll bat 284. I think he's going to bat around 270. You know, 260, somewhere in that range. I think he's going to drop 50 points? No, I don't think he drops 50 points.
I do. I think the strikeouts could rise. He does a good job at taking pitches. And that's going to be interesting to see with another big bat like Giancarlo Stanton. On how many, what his walk rate is this year, and how many walks he gets, if it changes at all with Stanton now in that lineup.
It could, right? Because pitchers sort of pick their death. You want to walk Judge, assuming Stanton's batting right behind him, which I think is what Boone wants to do. Okay, now you're putting a free runner on base with Stanton, who's the same exact guy. You think, you know, Judge, they could both throw the ball 500 feet. So that will be interesting here. That's one of the reasons why I think he might bat Judge first. Because you walk Judge, well, all of a sudden got a man on base, nobody out for Stanton. Could be a quick 2-0 lead for the Yankees.
So Judge last year was second in the league in hard hit rate. And this is the perfect example of two guys. You know who was first?
I mean, I would have said Stanton offhand.
It was Joey Gallo.
Oh, okay. Doesn't surprise me.
Joey Gallo strikes out a lot. Those are the two guys there. It's interesting, though. Here's the top five in hard hit rate in Major League Baseball for the 2017 season. Gallo, Judge, Goldschmidt, Seager, and Nick Castellanos. That tells me you can't draw anything from the hard hit rate because we have five very different skill sets of those players right there.
Which Seager? Kyle or Corey?
Corey.
Okay, just wanted to make sure it was Corey and not Kyle. That would have been a surprise there. Yeah, Castellanos, he probably doesn't get enough love for what he can do. You know, maybe are we down on the Tigers because, you know, they traded everybody away? They're going to be a bad team. Miguel Cabrera is not the same player. Victor Martinez is pretty much a witness protection.
I'm telling you right now,
damage.
I think there's another mistake by fantasy owners. If you are playing in deep leagues, like if you play in 12 to 15 team leagues and you have 30 guys on your team, people should not be ignoring Victor Martinez. He hits fourth in a lineup, right? He hits fourth in a lineup. Not a great lineup, but he hits fourth. You look at this guy, and he hit 27 home runs in 2016. He hit 289. You pick a guy in the last round, you can just cut him if it ain't working out. And I see some of the guys being picked in the last round. Victor Martinez is being a guy that shouldn't be ignored.
I agree. I like Victor Martinez. But I'm very well aware that I think Victor Martinez, when he plays, he'll be fine. The question is, how often is he going to play? You know, I think he is breaking down. He's 38 years old.
Yeah, so he's going to play
games.
Every day he's healthy. It's just how, you know, when he's not on the DL. I mean, being the DH is going to have its advantages. He's never going to play a position at all. Who would you rather have, Victor Martinez in the 25th round or Kennedy Morales in the 17th round?
I'm not so sure you get Morales in the 17th round. Morales had a terrible spring. He's the better hitter at this point, but I would probably, I mean, at those prices, actually, with the 17th round, I'm taking Morales. I think that's almost a gift.
Yeah, he's been dropping in drafts. I mean, both of those guys haven't been drafted. I played in a two-utility league, and I think I picked them as my last two hitters.
Now, let me ask a question about utility strategy here. Are you one of those guys who you hate tying it up with, the Morales-type Victor Martinez, Hanley Ramirez, if they don't qualify in another position? Or are you just, hey, best player available, that's who I could take, and I don't care if he has a position or not?
Yeah, just best player available. It used to be better when you had a DH such as like a David Ortiz, because you'd get a little bit of a bargain on a guy like that because people would be afraid to tie up the DH. But it's crazy. I don't think we have one of those anymore. Like who is the best DH only?
Yeah, you know, you're right. We don't have it anymore. You know, there's nowhere near it, David Ortiz, and there's no Hall of Fame player out there who's, oh my God, this guy's available in round five because no one wants a type of DH. I used to have Ortiz on my team, all my teams, because everyone felt the same way. You can give him round five. The guy's got 30 plus home runs, 100 plus RBIs, bat whatever, 280, 290. He was great for fantasy because everyone was afraid of tying up that DH slot. I'm the same as you. I don't care. If the best player available happens to be a DH and DH only, I don't care. That's the guy I want. I want the numbers.
I was thinking about this. David Dahl. What do you think on David Dahl?
David Dahl sat down to the minors yesterday. I believed in him last year. He had the back injury that pretty much took away his entire season. Certainly didn't play in the majors. Did hit some in the minors at the end of the year. I think coming into this year, we knew it was going to be a problem with Dahl. That how often he was going to play. And now they signed, once they signed Carlos Gonzalez, there was no room for him. You knew he was going away.
It was crazy to me, though, because he missed the whole year. I thought there was no chance he was making this team before Carlos Gonzalez. Yet every draft I was in, he was being drafted ahead of Tapia. He was drafted ahead of Parra. And I'm like, he's not going to start the year in the majors. People, are they going to hang on him for a month, for 2 months? Because they're going to get him some everyday at-bats. I mean, he missed a whole season.
You look at it. I mean, this is a National League team, folks. No DH here. You know, you got Parra, Blackman, Gonzalez, Desmond. You know, those are your four outfielders. First, Desmond's going to play some first base. McMahon, now what do they do with him?
He's got the minus too, I think.
Yeah, I think he is as well. Because I think, once again, he's a top prospect. You have to have him play every day. That's what I would do as well. I understand Carlos Gonzalez came at, was it $5 million, $7 million, whatever. It's a discount price, so they felt they had to bring him back. And I'm not saying it's the wrong move for Colorado, but it killed, Dahl and McMahon, probably not in that order, probably the reverse order, because they don't need them now. They need an injury now to play.
The problem is that people don't realize that Colorado did a bad job of putting this together because they're all left-handed hitters. Like, you can't even set up a platoon. Parra is a lefty, Tapia is a lefty, Gonzalez is a lefty, and Dahl's a lefty. I mean, you can't even platoon these guys.
Yeah, and so is McMahon. The only righties there are, Desmond. My God, Desmond's the only righty of these guys. Even Blackman's a lefty. Well, you're not taking Blackman out of the lineup anyway. They're all lefties. You're right. Not even, no switch hitters, no nothing. So, listen, I think Dahl is a great talent. I think at this point he could be a better player than Gonzalez, than Parra. Maybe even Desmond. I'm not sold on him either. But these guys just don't have a place to play.
Would you be keeping him on your roster despite him being sent to the minors?
Not in a 3-5 man bench. If we're a deeper bench, you're playing one of those teams that have 7 bench and or plus. Sure, then I might. But you already said that it's the game of, okay, when's enough? Is it a month? 6 weeks? 2 months? Memorial Day? When's enough? I got to play that game. I don't mind really doing it. And listen, you're in a deep draft, Tony. 28, 29 round. You want to take him, fine. But then I'm automatically looking, week one, week two for that hot player, and he's the guy that's going anyway. But you want to take a dartboard throw early, see if someone does get hurt first week of the season or whatever? I'm okay with that, but he's going to be the first guy off my roster.
Well, I just seen an overreaction to the Madison Baumgartner injury. I see a trade on Facebook. Marwin Gonzalez and Madison Baumgartner for Luke Weaver.
Ooh. I wouldn't have done that either. I'd rather be on the Baumgartner side there. I may be down on Baumgartner, but, I think the worst-case scenario is pretty much June. So, no, I wouldn't have done that.
You could actually make the argument that Marwin Gonzalez is better than Luke Weaver.
I was thinking the same thing. You make an argument I'd rather have Marwin Gonzalez alone. I don't think he's getting enough love here. I don't know if he's going to be the exact player he was last year, but you have to love the positional flexibility. I mean, where doesn't he qualify at? Catcher? I mean, he's all over the place here. I think the power is somewhat legit there. He's a player you can use. And Luke Weaver, we don't know what he's going to become here. I don't think he's going to be an ace, an SP1, maybe an SP3. Marvin Gonzalez Weaver sounds like a fair trade right there. Then you throw in Bumgarner for 2/3 of the season? I'll take that.
That's not crazy. I'll tell you right now, we got to get these guys figured out. And we got 2 hours and 40 minutes, 20 minutes. We got time to help everybody out, man. We can figure it out for them.
Well, that's what we're here for. That is our job.
I also see this guy on Facebook asking, is Archie Bradley the closer and then for Arizona? And then other people are answering with nonsensical answers, and it's pretty funny. They must not like this guy.
They're not telling Fernando Rodney's still closing.
No. Stay tuned for more right here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Welcome back, Roto Experts in the Morning. He is George Kurtz. My name is Tony Cicada. We are here absolutely getting it done. And getting it done is the way the Toronto Blue Jays are going to try to do it opening day against the New York Yankees. And one of the guys they brought in this offseason isn't being talked about a lot, and that's Yongevis Salate, who had a tough spring season, but that went 4-for-4, two RBIs in grapefruit action. He will get the go opening day with Troy Tulowitzki out. Any love for Salate? He's a guy that I tried to draft in these 50-team leagues because he's eligible at second, short, and third. 50-round leagues.
Tulowitzki's hurt, Tony? You're kidding.
No.
This is so disappointing. So surprising. Salate, Anderson, he goes to a nice one of the best hitters ballparks in the American League, playing on turf. I love the positional flexibility as well. I think people sometimes go a little bananas about that, though. I mean, we love it, but I don't overrate it. Also, I'm going to move him up my draft board, you know, 3 rounds because he can play second, short, third. But it's nice to have on your roster, especially when the injuries hit here. That does make him more valuable to me. He's played in the American League before, started with the Yankees. So I'm not as worried about switching leagues. I am somewhat worried about switching leagues. That always bothers me because I think it takes some players longer to adjust than others, especially going up to Canada here. But if he can somehow make it a full-time job, which I understand gets tricky, you know, if Devin Travis plays well for second base, once Tulowitzki comes back and before he gets hurt again, you know, we know he's not going to play much third with Josh Donaldson there. But if he can, you know, get 500 at-bats, same as last year, we got 512, I think 20-plus home runs are coming. You know, the RBIs will be representative. His average, I think, could be an average where, you know, maybe it hurts you a tick. Not major. I don't think it's about 230, but I could see, you know, 250, 252, somewhere around there. But still, he's a player I'd like for a middle infield position. I'd love him.
You're a Salate. It sounds like a good name, too, right?
It does sound like a Salate. I mean, I don't know. What is it? Solo Sun? Is that what it means? Anybody?
I have no idea. It's a great question.
I'm gonna have to look that up.
It means something significant?
Well, I guess that depends on what significant means to you.
That's a good question.
Salate. No, maybe it doesn't mean anything.
It means crap. What do you think of that?
I meant crap.
I meant it didn't have a special
meaning. No, it looks like it doesn't have a special meaning. Oh, well.
It's very sad. It sounds better than it is. It's just like real life. It's like when you watch the Arby's commercial and you go and get a beef and cheddar, and then you realize it's not that great.
Oh, they don't have, it look good. I used to love Arby's. Man, they don't have any around here. I gotta go all the way to Queens, I think, if I want an Arby's.
Danny Duffy left Saturday's game against the Diamondbacks with left shoulder tightness. He is slated to be the Royals' opening day starter. The team says it's precautionary. And I got to tell you, if he does pitch opening day, do you throw him in your lineup knowing that, you know, 5 days ago he left the start with a shoulder situation?
Well, wouldn't that depend on, once again, is it a 4-day week or an 11-day week? You know, which kind of week are we playing in here? I think if it's a 4-day week, I'm probably leaning no. If it's 11, I'm probably leaning yes, because he's going to make at least 2 starts. You know, so I think I had to take the shot there that he goes on Thursday. Hopefully it goes well. Now he's playing the White Sox. You know, they could do some damage hitting. So, but both, you know, it's going to be a little cold there too. So maybe it's more of a pitcher's day than a hitter's day. I'm leaning yes right now, Tony. I'm going to start him, but this will be a situation where I will pay attention to. Because odds are, if I'm not starting someone like Duffy, then I'm probably, the way I draft my teams is I don't tend to take a lot of backup starting pitchers because they're usually terrible. You know, SP4s or 5s for their major league team, and they're going to wreck my ratios. I generally go with top setup guys, you know, hoping to protect my ratios, maybe pick up a decent amount of strikeouts anyway, and that occasional save there. So it might come down to someone like Duffy or an Andrew Miller type for me, or Betances or Robertson, whatever it might be, someone like that. So that's what I'll have to weigh here. I think, you know, if it's a 4-day week, I'm probably going the Robertson route.
You know, it's real interesting with Duffy. You mentioned the start in Chicago. If it's cold, though, it might be hard to loosen up that shoulder.
Loosen up. You're absolutely correct. I mean, you can't argue that. If you're playing, you know, one of those leagues where it's just 4 days, I'm probably going to sit him because I might also think, I could just go 5 innings. Is it really worth risking, you know, that he doesn't pitch at all, pitches poorly just for that 5 innings? You know, they're going to be cautious with them. The Royals aren't going anywhere this year anyway, so they're going to play it safe with Duffy. So I would look into that as well. But if it's your 11-day week, if they're counting next week too in your league, I am more than likely starting. If Duffy starts with KC, he's starting for me.
And then Jake Arrieta, he took forever to sign a contract, and now he's a little bit behind. He will make his debut on April 8th.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways that's not a bad thing. Because someone like that, I really usually equate this with someone who's injured. Arrieta wasn't injured, but sort of the same thing, where he's going to make 1 start, it's going to be delayed. But I like the fact that it's going to be on a Sunday, because at the end of the week, so I don't have to start him, and I probably won't in overwhelming majority of leagues. But at least I get to see him pitch. I get to see him pitch on that Sunday for free, and then make my evaluation if I should start him the next week. You know, if he pitches well, if he looks good, fine. Does he still look like he's behind? Are the Phillies baby him? Only going 80 pitches, 5 innings, whatever it is. Does his stuff look good? At least I sort of get that free evaluation.
The Rangers released Bartolo Colon and his $1.75 million he was due. They don't have to pay him. And this guy's got a lot of families. I don't understand why they wouldn't give him his money.
He's got a lot of things. Bartolo Colon. Is he done? Is he finally done, Tony, or is someone else going to pick him up?
I think he's finally done. 44-year-old Bartolo Colon. Sayonara, but he was a man that got the most out of his ability.
Absolutely. A guy who adjusted, right? One time was a flamethrower. In the last couple of years, he throws 1 pitch. All he throws a fastball. Just different speeds, different places, different locations. But that's all he throws. So good for him for making it this long. Sort of been a pop icon or pop hero. Everybody loves him when he pitches for him. The Mets fans absolutely loved him. I'll tell you one thing. With pitching throughout baseball, you see some of these rotations, it wouldn't shock me if he pops up again.
Come on. Really?
Have you seen who's throwing for Miami?
Well, they have Dan Straley out. Jose Urena. What's wrong with him?
What's right with him?
He's not a bad pitcher.
No, he's not. This Miami, well, I don't want to pick on the Marlins here, but their rotation is pathetic. I mean, Urena, Despaigne, Nicolino, Jacob Turner.
Ugh. Justin Nicolino is amazing that he is a Major League Baseball prospect because Justin Nicolino can't strike out T-ballers. And it's crazy that he goes out there and he puts that many balls in play. Justin Nicolino's strikeout was 4.86 last year, and his walk rate is 3.75. So he's pretty close to walking as many guys as he strikes out, and yet he has a major league career.
Isn't it tough to strike out a T-ball? They put the ball on a tee.
I know. It's crazy, right?
They didn't do that when I played ball at that age, man. We still got pitchers.
Yeah.
Kids nowadays, they have it too easy.
What do you think about that? Do you think that's why they got soft?
I think there's a lot of reasons why they got soft. I can't stand this thing where, it drives me insane, participation trophies and all this other crap. I mean, what's wrong with failure? Doesn't that motivate you to get a little better? Maybe you're not meant to play baseball, or hockey or football, basketball, whatever it might be. Maybe it's not meant to be. Yeah, that's all right. Not everybody's good at everything. We got to coddle every child. No, it's okay. You did great. No, maybe you just suck and you should try something else.
Why do you think that is?
Why? I guess the culture in this country now where, everybody's equal, all this other crap, I guess no one wants to be told that, hey, you're not good at something. You failed at something. No one wants to ever be told that. I don't know, but I think we all want to be blinded to the truth.
How about blinded by the light? Wrapped up like a douche and all a runner in the night. Blinded by the light. Remember that song?
He swears that's wrapped up like a deuce, by the way. The car, not douche, but certainly sounds like douche. Manfred Mann, baby.
You like Manfred Mann?
I like two of his songs. That's one of them. But they had a big interview with him that's wrapped up like a deuce. The old, I guess, I don't know what kind of car it was. I guess sports car back in the day. But that's what he swears that it is. But, man, if it is, that deuce does sound like douche in that song a lot.
That's not good. That's not good. I'll tell you what. I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy about Manfred Mann. I like the Bruce Springsteen version better myself.
I didn't even know Springsteen had a version.
Oh, yeah, come on, man. How come?
I didn't know. That's sir. I had no idea Springsteen did a cover of Blinded by the Light.
Yeah, he does Blinded by the Light. You gotta keep up with these things, George. You gotta keep up with Springsteen covers.
Okay, I'm gonna get ready. I'll tell you, next commercial break, I will listen to Springsteen's cover of Manfred Mann.
Of Blinded by the Light?
Of Blinded by the Light.
Because they don't have any other song, right?
Who's the Springsteen guy?
Does Manfred Mann have any other songs?
I think he has one that I can remember that I don't know if I'd call it a hit, but I guess one that was decent, but I don't remember it offhand. Blinded by the Light would be the only tune I could, off the top of my head, that I could tell you about.
The Milwaukee Brewers have a lot of outfielders, and they lessened it by one yesterday. Keon Broxton sent to AAA Colorado. And Broxton's a guy, it's funny. People thought that Domingo Santana was going to be traded to try to bring in a pitcher, which I'm sure the Brewers try to do. But as George said, there's not a lot of great pitching around. I don't think people will be giving it away. And actually, the Brewers found out that more people wanted Keon Broxton than Domingo Santana. He's in the minors here, and the Brewers still have a wealth of outfielders.
Yeah, I think you and I discussed this, or Scott and I discussed this. I don't understand what the Brewers did this offseason. I'm not knocking the Yelich, acquiring Yelich, or acquiring Lorenzo Cain. But on both occasions, Tony, once I saw you signed Lorenzo Cain, you traded for Yelich, I was waiting for the secondary trade. Okay, when's Broxton going? When's Santana going? I certainly didn't think Ryan Braun would be going. But when's the secondary trade here? What's going on? You don't need more outfielders. Yes, your team's better, marginally better, but you need pitching. You don't have any pitching. So I kept waiting for that trade for a pitcher, and it never occurred. To me, this is what gets GMs fired. You have a wealth of talent in the outfield, wealth of talent there. You didn't really need it, but you're loaded there. But your pitching is Chase Anderson, your top starter, Zach Davies, Jacine, Suda. You're not winning a division with this. I don't care when Jimmy Nelson comes back. That's not going to win you a division, that starting five here. So, what are you going to hope? You're going to bludgeon teams to death and win a lot of 13-10 games? Because that's what they're going for.
Here's how I think it's going to play out in Milwaukee. I think you're going to see four guys occupy three spots for a lot of that And the exception is Ryan Braun will play first base on days there's a left-handed pitcher. And Eric Thames will sit on those days. And I think that all of them will get 500 at-bats. But
who sits first right-handers?
Well, I don't think there'll be a certain guy. I think Braun will play every day against right-handers. But I think that they'll all play, except for Thames, against right-handers. But against lefties, I think it's going to rotate. Ryan Braun won't sit, though, because he's got like a 350 career average against lefties.
I mean, I think right now the plan is for lefties that Braun will play first base. If they think they said that. Yeah. So Thames will be out. So that solves the problem there. But against righties, I mean, I guess you're going to rotate it. Santana sits some. Yeah. Braun sits some. Yeah. Kane sits some.
Yeah.
That's not going to go. That generally doesn't work. Not when you got guys who have established players. Good luck there.
Well, you want to keep Ryan Braun healthy. He's been, in the last couple of years, he's at.
Oh, he'll get hurt and solve his problem eventually. That's true.
Saw some time there. But Yelich and Kane, certainly you want, they'll be wanting to play every day. But it's going to get crazy. It's going to get crazy there in Milwaukee. And I don't see anyone giving up a pitcher for any of those, for Santana or Broxton, a pitcher of substance.
Here's the next question. What happens if Braun is a complete dumpster fire at first base? He's just a nightmare defensively, which he very well might. He already stated he's not comfortable there. He stated this. That tells you all I need to know about him playing first.
Well, he's almost 40, and he never played, so I get that. Like, he'd be uncomfortable, right? But I saw Ryan Braun play in college, right? And he was a shortstop. And I'm of the opinion that, you know what? Any knucklehead could play first base. You just go over there and you cover the base and they throw you the ball. Yeah, ball's down on the ground. You might not get them all. But there's a lot of guys that play first base regularly that don't catch them. And in fact, a lot of teams have terrible first basemen.
They do. You're right. I mean, I think first base is a little bit harder than what you're trying to say. But I think of all the infield positions, it is the easiest infield position.
What are you talking about? Well, we're in Little League. Everybody puts a big fat kid at first base.
Yeah, but nobody could hit back in Little League. And certainly there weren't too many. How many lefties were you all facing in Little League, by the way? I want to count those guys on one hand, left-handed.
What do you mean? So basically what you're saying, there was no left-handed pitchers in Little League. What would happen? A left-handers had to stay in and join the Boy Scouts?
I guess so. I don't think the parents let left-handers. Maybe that was a big thing back in the 70s. Your left-handers can't play baseball. Because there weren't many left-handers, man. In your Little League, I can remember, honestly, one. And my brother's left-handed, by the way, but I never played with him. There was a one guy, Dominic Turco. He was good, but he's the only left-handed I can remember that I actually played against regularly.
George, how can he be in your 40s and remember how many righties and lefties you faced in Little League?
Because I can hit left-handers. There is something to that. I can actually see the ball and hit. I couldn't hit a right-hander to save my life, but a left-hander I could hit.
So you look forward to Derek Tomaszewski, whoever he was, pitching?
Yes, Derek Tomaszewski, or that lovely name. Yes, I did look forward. Because I guess you can see the ball better. It's very true about that. You can see the ball come out of his hand much better from the opposite side.
The Red Sox signed Christian Vasquez to a 3-year deal. Vasquez, known as a defensive catcher, a 3-year contract with the Boston Red Sox.
Yay. I mean, nice for the Red Sox. Fantasy-wise, I don't think there's really all that much there, except in Tony's favorite 2-catcher league. Then he's somebody you might want to look at there. But I don't know if he's ever going to have a full-time job there. We do love the ballpark, but good for the Sox. Fantasy-wise, meh.
It's interesting that they gave a 3-year deal, and Blake Swihart played so well in the spring and former number one draft pick.
Well, don't they want to move Swihart all over the place to make him sort of a super utility guy? Not so sure that's going to work out either.
They already have one of those with Nunez, or don't they?
Right.
How many are you going to have?
I guess maybe you think it is, Pedroia's now. Nunez got to play second base, but that's what Nunez really is. A good second, short, third, outfield in a pinch. You know, so I don't think you need more than one of those on your team. But, hey, 2, 3, got Brock Holt, too.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. 1 hour now, 2 hours to go. Roto Experts in the morning. If you don't get yourself excited, get some jelly.